Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host, and so happy to be with you on this Monday afternoon, or perhaps if you're on the other side of the dateline, Tuesday morning. We've got a very important show for you. We don't usually make news on this show. It's not a news program. It's an apologetics program where we explain and defend the Catholic faith. But today, I think we will make a little bit of news. Second hour, Carlo's going to be here with us. Carlo Broussard will be here with us, and we'll talk about intercession to the saints and why Catholics believe in the intercession of the saints, and so a perfect one for if you find yourself in the position of needing to defend the intercession of the saints, or you don't believe and you'd like to talk with Carlo about it. Our number is 888-318-7884, and the first hour today, we are about to welcome the Archbishop of San Francisco, Archbishop Salvatore Corleone. And if you have been reading the news, you know that Archbishop Corleone released a pastoral letter this weekend in the Archdiocese of San Francisco on the matter of public officials, abortion, and the reception of communion. That story picked up in major media around the country. I note that the Washington Post ran a pretty prominent story, and they headlined it this way: Pelosi's Archbishop says prominent Catholics who support abortion rights should be denied communion. And I think that is correct. I think that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has her home. Her home base is within the Archdiocese of San Francisco. But I don't think that that adequately captures what the Archbishop is about in this pastoral letter. So as we're working on getting the Archbishop with you, I want to tell you a little bit about this pastoral letter. And I will take your calls at 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to speak with Archbishop Corleone about the situation of public officials, abortion, and the reception of communion here in the United States and around the world, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. So let me tell you just a little bit about the pastoral letter that is making so much news. And as I said, just pointed out, was reported in major newspapers like the Washington Post, and might see it on your evening news tonight. I don't know. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you is the title of this pastoral letter. In the pastoral letter, it's called A Pastoral Letter on the Human Dignity of the Unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in Public Life, from the Most Reverend Salvatore Joseph Corleone, Archbishop of San Francisco. As many of you who know anything about Archbishop Corleone know that he is a San Diegan, and we're proud of him. He was an auxiliary bishop here in San Diego, went on to become Bishop of Oakland, and then Archbishop of San Francisco. And this is something that is, I think it's fair to say, I'm going to give you a little bit more about this before we bring Archbishop Corleone on, but I think it is fair to say that there is some anticipation in both secular media and in Catholic media that in the coming months, especially probably reaching a high point in June of this year, there will be some serious squabbles among Catholic bishops here in the United States about how to address this issue. That this all seems to have been brought to a head, of course, a dramatic point by the fact that we have a new president here in the United States, just finished his first 100 days, Joe Biden. Joe Biden is, of course, a Catholic man. He is also, of course, a proponent of a widespread access to abortion at every stage of life here in the United States, and even an advocate now of government funding for that. That brings us to a moment of crisis, kind of. How are we to respond as a church? How are we to deal with this somewhat sensitive, and I shouldn't say somewhat, to this genuinely sensitive and difficult moment in our life as a Catholic Church? It's not Joe Biden's fault that we're here. It's not any current bishop's fault that we're here. We've been struggling with this since the promulgation of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade in the 70s. But it does all seem to be coming to a head at this moment. And so we're delighted to have the Archbishop of San Francisco with us to talk about it. He divided the pastoral letter into four parts: the gravity of the evil of abortion, cooperation in moral evil, and then the meaning of choosing to receive the Holy Eucharist, and then last, the responsibilities of Catholics in public life. Again, if you'd like to speak with the Archbishop, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. I'm now delighted to welcome Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione from the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Archbishop, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
This does seem to be big news. I was just letting listeners know that the name of the pastoral letter is Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You. Why this moment, Archbishop?
I've been thinking for quite some time I needed to do something to teach our people on this issue. It's been in my mind for a very long time, and it seems to be becoming more and more urgent. And now that we have the situation with the new president, all the more so. So I began deliberating how best to approach this very thorny issue. I've realized also for a very long time that the biggest part of the problem is our Catholics, too many of our Catholics, don't understand what the Eucharist is and what it means to receive Holy Communion. If it's just a matter of being a participant at the table, then it doesn't make sense that some people should not be receiving communion. So I knew we needed a massive effort to re-educate our people on that, so it can make sense that some people are in a situation not to be able to receive Holy Communion. The next step was the fact of the real question is, are Catholics in public life who are advocating something very seriously evil, are they in a situation of mortal sin or not? Because the timeless teaching is needing to be in a state of grace that is free of mortal sin. So that gets into the area of moral cooperation. That's why I thought I had to have a section on that. Even though it's very, there are technical distinctions in moral theology, they're very important ones. So I tried to make it in a way that was succinct and clear and easily digestible to the average reader. So it really gets down to that. I did not want to do it before the election because too many people think that this is a political issue. It is a political issue, but the church doesn't involve itself with it as a political issue. The church involves itself with it as a moral issue and one that has to do with the salvation of souls. The urgency seemed to be growing. It has been on my mind for a long time, and I knew I had to speak very soon now with the even greater urgency of the situation.
Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione from the Archdiocese of San Francisco, our guest with a brand new pastoral letter about abortion, and the reception of communion, and public officials here in the United States. Archbishop, is it fair to say that this is an issue of contention, not just in the wider Catholic Church, but among the U.S. Catholic bishops, that you're going to have serious conversations in the coming months with one another?
It's a very thorny issue what to do in particular circumstances, and yes, there are differences of opinion there. I think, and I would hope, that in terms of the teachings, which I wanted to spell out clearly the teachings, that there's a consensus there. Because these are the teachings of the church. And I wanted to stick to what is clearly church teaching, not a matter of opinion or pastoral discretion. Applying them in a specific circumstance requires some pastoral discretion.
Fair enough. But the general level of catechesis among our Catholic population here in the United States doesn't always permit of clear conversations about this. And that does seem to me you have to lay a great deal of ground. I think that's what you were alluding to in the beginning. You have to talk about what the Eucharist is, what it means to cooperate with evil, what it means to do so knowingly and obstinately. You have to do a lot of catechesis to get to just a basic understanding of what we're talking about here.
Yes. And also what abortion is.
Oh, yes, thank you. Right.
It should be obvious, but it's not. The other side has done such a great job of deflecting attention so people don't look directly at it and see how heinously evil this is. So I wanted to lay out clearly that this isn't just one issue among other. There are many other very serious issues we have to be dealing with, but abortion is at a whole different level. Every generation has the bishops call this the preeminent issue of our time. Every generation has that preeminent issue. In the mid-19th century, it was slavery. In the mid-20th century, it was a civil rights movement. Every generation has that issue to deal with. And these all have a political aspect to them, But at the heart, it's a moral issue, and that's why faith leaders get involved with them. And whether it was the abolitionist movement or the civil rights movement, that was led by faith leaders. And those who speak out and advocate for justice are very often putting themselves in a difficult situation, sometimes even at risk of their own lives. People have lost their lives. Martin Luther King, of course, is the great martyr for the civil rights movement, but there were others putting their lives at risk and advocating for civil rights. So, fortunately, we're not at that extreme with the abortion issue, but it does mean, 60+ million lives have been
Yeah.
lost because of this.
Our number is 888-318-7884. Your calls are welcome for Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. I have to say, the first section, the gravity of the evil of abortion, you included a quote from someone who described the physical process of abortion. It was shocking to read. I mean, it hits you like getting hit with a hammer. But I was glad you did, because we really do have every kind of way to talk around what is happening. But to hear an actual abortionist describe the process, I think we need that shock. That, and you were mindful of that.
That's why I decided to put it in. I debated within myself whether or not to put it in. At first, I thought I wouldn't put it in because it is so graphic. But I finally decided we have to shake people's conscience. And the only way to do that is to lay it out there very explicitly what abortion is. And this was one way to do it.
Again, Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, our guest. This is Catholic Answers Live. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I want to just review the four points that the Archbishop makes in this new pastoral letter out just this weekend on reception of communion and abortion and public service here in the United States. And then I'm going to ask the Archbishop to kind of walk through the four with us, and then I'll be happy to take your calls. The first of the four pivotal points that he makes in his letter: the gravity of the evil of abortion, which we just began to discuss. Then he lays out for us what it means to cooperate in moral evil. And then the third section is the meaning of choosing to receive the Holy Eucharist. And finally, the responsibilities of Catholics in public life. We do have to take a quick break. We'll be right back to discuss those four with the Archbishop and then take your calls.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Want the latest pro-life news? Want it delivered? Sign up. It's free. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, your source for everything happening now in the fight to protect the sanctity of human life. New episodes delivered every week to your inbox. So if you really want to know,
sign up today.
Go to EWTN.com/pro-life today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our number 888-318-7884. We are always just delighted when we get to spend time with Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione from the Archdiocese of San Francisco, and for very good reason this time. This weekend, he released a brand new pastoral letter. It's called "Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You." It's a pastoral letter on the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life. It starts with a discussion of the gravity of the evil of abortion, something that we certainly need because we can become so inured to what is actually happening all around us. As I'm sure people were, the Archbishop mentioned slavery and the civil rights movement. People became inured to the evil of slavery despite its obvious the horrors. People became insensitive to the lack of civil rights here in our country, even though they were obvious and multiple. And now we struggle with being insensitive to the plight of the unborn. You then go on to talk about cooperation and moral evil. What did you want to communicate when you spoke about in the letter about cooperation and moral evil in general?
As I mentioned earlier, the question is about a person's state if they're cooperating to a degree that they're implicated with something that's so gravely evil that it puts them in a situation of grave sin. So it's important that people understand these distinctions, because there's a lot of cooperation that often it's remote, but sometimes you don't even realize it, that it can be justified. In the question and answer, I give the example of purchasing products from a place where the workers are, you know, working in a sweatshop and treated inhumanely. We buy those products. Maybe we don't even know that, but there's remote cooperation there. So I wanted to make these distinctions, and especially between formal and material, that someone who advocates for abortion policies in order to promote abortion, that's formal cooperation. They are promoting something that is gravely evil. That's different from the example I also give in the question answer, a legislator who votes for legislation, say an informed consent law, for example. Parents have to give their consent if their minor daughter is going to have an abortion. That law presumes that abortion remains legal. So there's some cooperation there, some immediate cooperation, but it's remote enough, and it's for the purpose of attaining a good, because it would have the effect of reducing the number of abortions and better respecting the rights of parents. So that's an example where there's some cooperation that can be justified. But if the intention is to promote abortion, to make it more available, to support it as a so-called right, that's clearly formal cooperation, and that puts one in a situation of cooperating intentionally with a very grave evil.
Again, our number 888-318-7884. When you get in to those details of the moral life, and then you put yourself as an archbishop in the position of confronting this reality, in a way of saying, look, this is grave moral evil. Do you have any concern about your role as a bishop as not driving people away? Do you see what I'm saying? That there may be people who have an uncatechized view or are not fully they're not fully informed about their faith, and that you as the bishop, when you say this, is there fear for unity and the loss of unity in the church?
My fear is that the people will remain uninformed about this.
Okay.
And we bishops keep saying our role is to be teachers, so we really need to teach on this issue. And so we try to do it as pastorally, sensitively as possible, and as compassionately as possible, but with great clarity. That may alienate some people, but those are not people that are trying to decide where the truth is in this. Those are people that are already basically putting themselves in a situation at odds with the church. And I think the more we teach with clarity and conviction, the more we can win over those people if they eventually see the reality of what we're dealing with, and that the church is, it's only the church that has, for example, resources for helping women heal who have gone through the abortion experience. Not only women, but others too, because that one abortion affects a lot of people, not just the mother, sometimes the father. There are fathers who grieve that they wanted to welcome their child into the world, but they had no say in the matter. So we have resources to help heal. We have organizations that give women in crisis pregnancy real choice. I like to say that our pro-life crisis pregnancy clinics are the real pro-choice people, because they give her all the choices except one. And they whatever support she needs to give birth to that child, whether it's walking her through the adoption process, helping her get some get a job and know how to get some job training, provide her with diapers and formula and so forth. So they'll do everything they need to support the woman to make a happy and life-giving choice. So between giving witness that we're providing them a happy alternative, it's not enough just to say abortion's wrong, should be illegal, because that's not going to stop it. We need to change the cultural mindset, and we do that by being pro-life advocates in this way.
Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, our guest. There are more points to go over with the Archbishop, but I note that all the lines are full. Bishop, I want to let some other folks ask you some questions for a few minutes, all right?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Long Island, New York, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Teresa in Long Island, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione.
Hello, Archbishop Cordiglione. It's an absolute honor to speak with you, especially at this time of the Church's calendar where we speak so much about the Good Shepherd and how he tends and shepherds his flock. For you to have the courage, I've followed any number of your pastoral letters, declarations, proclamations, and really applaud your bravery on doing it, because certainly the tide is against us. But I had a question, and the question is a simple, just a question, because I do not know. Does the Speaker of the House, does she present herself for communion? Do you know? Does she receive it from her bishop or her pastor, rather?
She is one of those Catholics in public life that does attend church regularly and does take communion. She has all along for I think her whole life.
Yeah. So then she receives it from whoever her pastor, whoever is distributing.
Whoever the communion minister is, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I was not certain, and I just had wondered about that. My sister and I were speaking about your letter, and thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. Would it be your hope in part, Archbishop Cordiglione, that politicians who are in public life and are advocating this would read this and go, okay, I either shouldn't be going to communion, in which case, okay, they'll stop presenting themselves for communion, but that also that they will reflect, look, I just got to stop advocating for this position. I mean, you're hoping that this is not just meant to punish people. You'd really like them to read it and come to these conclusions.
Oh, that's obviously the goal, is conversion of hearts and salvation of souls. So I'm not going to predict that this one letter will achieve that, but I hope it will be a contribution and a long, deep movement to get us there.
Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio. Rose in Cincinnati, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione.
Archbishop, I am honored as well to be speaking with you. And I just wanted to say that you are doing your job as shepherd of the flock. And I'm hoping that the flock heeds, but also I know that the American bishops are meeting in June. I'm hoping that they have a strong message to Catholic politicians that are not following their faith and are misleading the flock in the wrong direction. I also wanted to express that I am in a deep sense of mourning since this new administration has come into office, knowing that millions more of innocent children worldwide are going to die because of the actions of this administration.
Rose, I'm going to let the Archbishop respond.
Again, we need to be advocates for life, and so show that there's a happy alternative to abortion. And we are, it seems like it's an uphill struggle, but I think there's a lot more support for this than we realize if we bind together. There's a lot coming out now. You know, there was the movie Unplanned, there was the movie Gosnell. the one coming out now about the Roe decision. There's a lot that's been done to make people see the reality of abortion, that their eyes have been the wool has been pulled over their eyes. Now that veil is being pulled back so they can see what it is. So I think we're at a moment now where we can begin to turn this around. But the other side is so adamant because reflecting on this, you know, abortion really is, I would call it, the Achilles heel of the ideology of the sexual revolution. They realize it's all riding on this. If it's sexual license is the principle that drives your life, then you have to have this license to kill if you're going to allow yourself to indulge in that. And so they realize that this is the whole house comes crumbling down when people realize how heinously evil abortion is. That's why we need to help people understand the whole reality all around it, that we need a huge change of cultural mindset, that a child should be welcomed. And if it's a crisis situation, there are happy alternatives than killing the child.
Rose, thank you. Our guest is Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone from the Archdiocese of San Francisco here in California, a brand new pastoral letter out just this weekend on abortion, communion, and public officials. More with Archbishop Cordileone right after this.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
According to divine command, we should give God worship, but how do we know if we're doing it right? Is worship a form of self-help? To make me feel better? A form of social activism or even a commodity? Or is it something that transcends all of those? In Real Religion, How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth, Father Jeff Kirby cuts through the misguided modern notions about God and religion and takes you back to the foundation for true worship. God's revelation about himself. From his first contact with his chosen people to the culmination of his revelation in Jesus Christ, God shows us what religion is supposed to be like and how to make the practice of it a lifelong virtue in our lives. Order your copy of Real Religion by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on More to Life, how to heal your marriage.
We'll help you overcome the challenges that are undermining your relationship.
That's tomorrow on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That quote from the prophet Jeremiah is the title of a new pastoral letter on the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life from Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone from the Archdiocese of San Francisco. You might be reading about it in the secular media. So I saw a whole bunch of newspapers picked it up today because I think it's obvious to everyone that there's a problem in the Catholic Church with the public witness of many of our brother and sister Catholics, and they are our brother and sister Catholics, in their execution of their duties in public life. And there's also been a problem with what to do about that for generations now within the Catholic Church. Certainly, there's been a crisis in our entire society since the Roe versus Wade decision of the early 1970s. The crisis grows more and more acute by the year. It doesn't abate. And in part because it is undergirded with lies and deception, and it's a lot of work to root out those lies and deception. I think our guest, Archbishop Cordiglione, has done a great service in helping to root out many of those lies and deceptions in this letter. I highly recommend you go to the Archdiocesan website and read the letter. You will benefit from doing so, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice or whatever your position, you will benefit from doing so. Right now, lots of folks on the line. Archbishop, you're comfortable if we go back to the phone lines?
Yes, let's get at it.
All right, let's see, where are we going? We're going to Bill in North Central Illinois, listening on WSOG 88.1 FM. Bill, your question for Archbishop Cordiglione.
Thank you, Archbishop. Thank you so much. If there was more bishops like you, I don't think we'd be in the situation we're in. My question is, why again, I heard you say a little bit, but why again did you wait till after the election? I heard nothing from my local bishop or priest before the election, and then after the election, we hear this. We needed to win that. I was a pro-life president. We needed him in there. Now afterwards, please.
It feels too late, Bill. Yeah, okay. Archbishop?
Before every general election, presidential election, the year before, the bishops put out the faithful citizenship document. We've been doing that for quite a long time now, and then we update it with each election. So we do it in advance because we don't want to be too embroiled in the politics. Again, if the church is going to be the conscience of society, the church can't be too closely connected to any one candidate or party or political platform. So we do it usually a year in advance of the election. This last faithful citizenship document is one where we did insert the phrase that abortion is the preeminent issue. So we issue this to help Catholics inform their consciences about it. In my own pastoral letter, I mentioned this. There's a question and answer supporting document people can read as well. They can also go to inthewomb.org to access these resources. I explained that I did not want people to misinterpret this as trying to get involved in a political issue. That's why I waited until after the election. Otherwise, it could have gotten hijacked for a political agenda or criticized for getting involved in a political agenda. And it's not that. It certainly has a political consequence to it. But that's not the heart of the matter. That's why I waited until after the election to issue it.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the question. But I think in fairness, Archbishop, none of the things that you're saying, this is the first time you've said them. This is just the first time you've assembled them into a pastoral letter, I would think.
Yes. And many other bishops as well have spoken out clearly on this.
Let's go to Donald in Plainsboro, New Jersey, listening on Domestic Church Radio. Donald, thank you for your patience. Go ahead with your question for Archbishop Cordiglione.
Archbishop, it's an honor to talk to you. And an intelligent, well-informed Catholic who voted for Biden, would he be considered complicit in committing an abortion? And can you address the Health and Human Services appointee by Biden?
The latter I can't speak to. But the former, I was very careful in the wording I used in issuing this teaching that if someone who votes for a politician because the politician supports abortion in order to make it more readily available or assure its availability and legality, that would be formal cooperation. Yes. If a person votes for a candidate in spite of, then it's a little more complicated. I'm not ready to say they're complicit certainly not in a formal way. The question is this immediate material cooperation? I'm not ready to say that it is, but every circumstance has its own set of considerations. So, but certainly if they vote for the candidate because of the candidate's pro-abortion stand, then yes, that would be a formal cooperation and a serious matter.
Thanks, Donald. Thanks very much. All the lines full, so I will keep moving. Let as many speak with the Archbishop of San Francisco, or Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, as I can. Casey in Tampa, Florida, is next, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Casey, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Archbishop Cordiglione.
Thank you for taking my call. Archbishop, you know, as Archbishop Cardinal Tim Doan would say, way to go, way to go. Great pastoral letter. So my question is, it's kind of like bills, I guess. So you're correct. The National Conference of Catholic Bishops each year prior to election issues a long letter about the conscience. But your pastoral letter is very, very has clarity to it. So I wonder if the next cycle, looking forward in a year and a half, if National Conference of Catholic Bishops will issue something similar to what you just wrote with a lot of clarity. What are your thoughts on that?
The faithful citizenship document that you're referring to that I mentioned earlier is very comprehensive. It's not just on the abortion or even the explicitly life issues. So it tries to present the Catholic perspective on the full range of issues. We will be discussing at the upcoming USCCB meeting in June about the Doctrine Committee issuing a letter, a teaching document on this issue as well. So I think that's where we will get more sort of focused on this particular issue would be a document coming from the Doctrine Committee. So the bylaws of the conference require that the body of bishops vote on whether or not to draft it when a new document is proposed, whatever the topic is, that they vote that to have that document written, and then they have to vote on the document itself. So the vote on the document would be at the November meeting. So we are in the process of preparing a teaching document that focuses specifically on this. The faithful citizenship document encompasses a broad range of issues.
Thanks, Casey. Appreciate that. Is there ever a situation where a bishop would refuse an individual, and I mean not just teach on this topic, but say to a politician, you may not present yourself to receive the Eucharist? And is that something we should expect to see more of, if that's in fact possible?
That has happened. That has happened in our own lifetime. I recall when the then Bishop Burke did that in La Crosse shortly before he was moved to St. Louis. Bishop Papraki in Springfield, Illinois, has done that with Catholic legislators there, including Senator Dick Durbin, but others as well. He's informed them that they should not present themselves for communion. So it has happened.
And it seems to me that the general modus is to try to teach and exhort. But I'm just wondering, at what point does teaching and exhorting exhaust itself and you just have to say no?
It does sometimes at a certain point exhaust itself. Then the pastor in question, the bishop or the parish pastor, has to make that judgment when it's reached that point.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to, where am I going now? Mark in Randolph, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Mark, your question, please, for Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and thank you very much for your letter, Archbishop. I haven't read the whole thing yet. I will this evening. I have two questions, and one of them is very short and easy, I think, and that is, as an EMHC, am I allowed to refuse the Holy Eucharist to a doctor who we know is performing abortions, or, you know, someone who works in a facility such as that? And then the second question is, I have a brother who's a Catholic priest, and he has a colleague who wrote an article prior to the election on, he's a professor at a Catholic university, and he wrote a letter to the largest paper of the correct way to end abortion is to hand out contraceptives. I'd love to see this guy fired. I don't know where to go or how to go there.
Fired from the priesthood, you mean? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Mark. Yeah.
The professor wrote.
Oh, the professor. I see.
That was published in the newspaper. Is that correct? Not your brother, the priest, the professor.
at the university?
He just happens to be a colleague of my brother. And when I told my brother that I wanted to see him fired, he says, no, he's a colleague of mine. Don't do that. Don't start this process.
Well, let's start with the Eucharistic minister question first, because these are two distinct questions. So someone's an extraordinary minister of the Eucharist, and I don't know, can that person say they recognize a pro-abortion, a politician coming up for communion? Can they refuse communion?
The difficulty is in a situation where there's been no previous conversation, and so now the minister is put on the spot. If in terms of the priest, the parish priest should have a conversation with the parishioner, and so the parishioner knows that if he or she goes to communion to the priest, that he's not going to give communion. So in your own case, I think urging this doctor's pastor to have a conversation with the doctor, and if not, then you could do so yourself if the priest doesn't want to do that. So the doctor knows that, the doctor won't be surprised when, if he approaches you for communion, that you don't give him communion. So he's already made aware of that. That's, I think, the way to handle the situation. So there's not a surprise situation there in the communion line.
Bishop, do you, to your knowledge, among the bishops, are these common conversations to have with, say, prominent politicians? Is it common for a bishop to call up and say, "Hey, I note that you're supporting this bill or something, and this is gravely evil. And if you continue to support it, you won't be able to present yourself for communion." Are those the kinds of conversations that are had?
I suspect they happen more often than we think. I say that because I recall when Pope Benedict visited here in the United States, and there was some controversy when Rudy Giuliani received communion. Then we found out that Cardinal Egan had private conversations with him, and he agreed not to go to communion. But nobody knew that because they were private conversations, and right. He respected the principle. So I suspect it happens more often than we see.
Fair enough. Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione is our guest. He's got a brand new pastoral letter out just this weekend came out. It's about the dignity of unborn persons, about Holy Communion, and about Catholics in public life. This intersection of difficult issues that every single Catholic, I don't know that there's a Catholic in the United States or maybe around the world that's not aware that this is a struggle we are engaged in at this moment. We'll have more calls for Archbishop Cordiglione right after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
You know, you get paid in heaven for the ministry that you do on here. I love your show. My life has completely changed. Through God's power and through His revelation, I've changed my stuff in my life. All my first fruits go to God, and I remain in God. I pray all the time. Your show is in my prayer.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione is our guest this hour. He has a new pastoral letter out for the people of the Archdiocese of San Francisco, and one that will benefit all of us Catholics. It's called Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You, a pastoral letter on the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life. Archbishop Cordiglione taking questions from callers, and there are a bunch on the line, so I'm going to go back to the phones. Let me just see here. Who we got next? Let's go to Rudy in Georgia, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130. Rudy, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Archbishop Cordiglione.
Yeah, thank you, Archbishop, for taking my call. I appreciate you your leadership in this regard. You know, I did want to talk. I mean, obviously, you mentioned the scandal that can happen from these politicians, having these positions and actively promoting it and saying that they're Catholics and the scandal that's caused by that. But I actually wanted to touch on another piece of it, which is, you know, it's not just the politicians that are at fault in this regard, right? That if we as Catholic voters, if every Catholic voted their conscience as this being a real preeminent issue, then, you know, we wouldn't have this problem with politicians saying that they're Catholic and actively promoting abortion and abortion rights. So I guess the question I have for you is, what do we do about that? Maybe you answered that a little bit from what you mentioned before on the letter, but how do we fix that problem? Because I think we're in control of this issue as well as Catholic voters.
Thank you.
Whatever political party or whose political platform is in place, we need to, and we do work with the government officials to advocate for justice, because there's always going to be something to work on. It's a matter of weighing issues. I'm emphasizing that this isn't just one issue among others, but there are other very important issues to weigh. So what we have to do is, no matter who's in charge of the government, to try to get them to move in those areas where justice is lacking, and to try to move to a more just society. It's really blatant and horrendous on this issue. It's to some extent on other issues as well. So we need to stay engaged in the, and our lay people, you know, you have the responsibility for being involved in political life directly. We bishops, we teach and try to serve as the conscience, but we can't be directly involved in politics. I think lay people, you have the responsibility to form young people well so they can serve well in politics. I mean, it is a noble profession, and it's a very important one that provides for the common good of our country. It should not be corrupted or watered down or hijacked for some kind of ideology. But we need good, well-formed Catholics and other people of faith that share our basic values in the political system, so we can have some kind of a comprehensive approach to all these issues that affect human life and dignity.
Rudy, thank you very much for that question. Archbishop, I made a mistake earlier. We had a caller who asked two questions, and I never got to the second question. The caller from Nebraska, I believe it was Dan, he had asked a question that where someone taught that the way to get rid of abortion is to just give out lots of contraception, and I never gave you a chance to respond to that. Was that something you wanted to respond to?
Well, sure. That is such a kind of a juvenile, superficial way of perceiving the issue. First of all, some contraceptives are abortifacient. Either they're designed to work that way, or they can have the effect of working that way, such as the hormonal contraceptives that rupture the lining of the uterus. So if it does happen that the woman ovulates, it's supposed to suppress ovulation. But of course, contraceptives aren't 100% effective. So if she does ovulate, the fertilized egg will not implant. So it works as an abortifacient. The second thing is that since contraceptives are not 100% effective, there has to be a backup, if that's your mentality, and that's abortion. So abortion will still be around, will still be a backup. Most importantly, though, is just the whole attitude of people toward kind of the relationships between men and women. They've been so polluted now and corrupted, with men kind of have a sense of women as, they can use women as a source of object of pleasure, and even women seeing it that way now. It corrupts the whole mentality and creates a whole different way of looking at the reality that separates sex, childbearing, and marriage have all been separated now, and that's why everything is disintegrated. I would really urge anyone who wants to explore this more deeply to read the book by Mary Eberstadt called Adam and Eve After the Pill. She excellently lays out all of the consequences of this separation of sex, marriage, and childbearing. Yeah, because of the contraceptive culture.
Thanks for that question, Dan. I'm sorry I made you wait several callers before I got to the second half of your question. Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, our guest up next in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on 1260 AM, The Rock. Wilfredo, go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your service, Your Excellency. My question deals with the money that the government gives to the U.S. bishops, and does that affect the way some bishops will react to your letter and to their responsibility to God? Thank you.
Yeah, when you're getting a check from the government, is it hard to criticize the government? I think that's the root of the question.
That's not controlling decisions. A clear example in my mind is just a few years ago, there was a hospital system in the state of Kentucky that was going under, a secular hospital system. A Catholic hospital system was willing to buy it out and keep it going to the tune of $400 million with a commitment to providing health care for the poor. But the governor at the time stopped it from going forward because a Catholic system would not perform abortions. So I'm very proud of them that they did not buckle under that pressure. So, and there are, I know of other examples as well when it comes to the abortion issue and the transgender surgery issue. So I don't think that's not controlling the decision. There are other factors that have to weigh in terms of public reaction, what's really going to move the person to conversion, and questions of unity. And so there are a lot of other factors that have to be taken in consideration. But whether or not we're going to be receiving government funding, I don't believe is one of them. I haven't seen that.
Thanks, Wilfredo. Thank you very much for that question. Let's go to Seattle, Washington. Also listening to EWTN Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio is Patrick in Seattle, Washington. Patrick, go ahead with your question for Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for answering my question here, Your Excellency. So I was wondering, you know, building on a previous question about when does exhorting change become exhausted, you know, at what point would excommunication of a politician supporting abortion be a reasonable step? I'm thinking specifically back to the 4th century when Theodosius I was excommunicated by St. Ambrose for the massacre of Thessaloniki. And I was just thinking to myself, well, you know, they only killed, it's a little disgusting to say, but they only killed 10,000 or so people there. I'm just thinking to myself, yeah. Why don't we excommunicate these politicians? Thank you.
Yeah, because we're up to 60 million, as I think the Archbishop said earlier. Bishop, excommunication is a remedy.
Yes, it's important to make the distinction between banning from communion and excommunication. Banning from communion is not a penal sanction, as is excommunication. It's simply a declaration of fact. Someone's in a position that they should not be presenting themselves for communion. Excommunication is a penal sanction. We call it a medicinal penalty because it looks to the conversion of the offending Catholic. So if banning from communion doesn't do enough to heal the scandal, then that could be a factor. I think normally that would be enough. However, we don't need to go back that far in history. I have in the pastoral letter a sidebar where I speak about when excommunication was used in relatively recent history in our country. This was during the time of civil rights. And the most well-known one was Archbishop Rummel in New Orleans excommunicated three Catholic politicians who were opposing his integration of the Catholic schools there. So it has happened even kind of recently in our own country. But I would say that's only if the scandal still isn't repaired after everything else has been done. That'd be the only time I could envision resorting to an excommunication.
Thanks very much, Patrick, for the question. Bishop, or Archbishop, excuse me, it is since the 1970s, however, that this has been going on, and there have not been very many excommunications. Is there any indication that this dam might break and that some bishops might say, enough, no more of this?
We would have to see. I would... I would think the first step would be if this is already kind of a last resort, if a public declaration of banning from communion, if that, the only other, if it doesn't repair the scandal I mentioned, the only other reason to move to an excommunication is if the bishop really thinks that will help the offending Catholic move down the path of conversion. Because ultimately it's the salvation of souls. That's the meaning of what we all do.
Amen. Thank you, Archbishop. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. It's the new pastoral letter from Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione. You can find it at the Archdiocesan website in San Francisco. Archbishop, may we have your blessing before we go?
Of course. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you kindly and grant you his peace, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much. Congratulations on a beautiful letter, and thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us about it, Archbishop.
You're welcome. My pleasure to be with you.
Carlo gets the unenviable job of following Archbishop Cordiglione. I hope it's a great hour, Carlo. We'll see you in a few seconds. We'll be right back with Carlo Broussard on Catholic Answers Live right after this.